accept the reality of the world with which we're presented. It's as simple as that.
Billions of people just living out their lives. Oblivious.
They taught you good. Made you believe their world.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there. And no one, no government agency has jurisdiction over the truth.
Hello and welcome to Beyond the Paradigm. I'm your host, Paul Breckell. Thank you for anyone tuning in regular every week. It's much appreciated. And if you are a regular listener, like always, I always ask people to do this because it's the number one way in which you can support this show, if it's a show you really like, is to go to wherever you listen to your podcasts and click on that 5-star rating. If you're following it and leave a rating, it helps the algorithms and helps this podcast become more visible so people can find it a lot easier when looking for something to listen to, and it would be much appreciated. And the second way that you can help, if you're so inclined, is financially, because I've mentioned previously there are costs incurred in running the podcast. So you can go to patreon.com/beyondtheparadigm and sign up there for £3 a month. You'll get a shout out on the air. You'll be helping the podcast stay on air. You'll acquire voting rights to vote on what topics you would like on this show. And you will also get access to the private Discord server for members only. I'm looking at in the future to add another tier, and also looking at doing some live streams if people would be interested in that. You could drop me an email at beyondtheparadigm@yahoo.com and contact me there with any suggestions of topics you'd like to hear, guests maybe, if you're interested in live streams, what you'd like, which guests you'd want to return, if any, or any new guests you'd like to have on the show. All that information and contact from yourselves is welcome. I will respond to you. I've had people contact me before and I've responded to them. So it'd be nice to hear from some of the listeners from around the world. Well, today we've got a fascinating episode with a returning guest, Dr. Douglas Hamp, who is the pastor of the Way Congregation in Colorado. And he is the author of a number of books, including a trilogy of books called Corrupting the Image. Doug was on this show back in August. Well, the episode was actually released on the 1st of September, but I spoke to Doug in August last year, so quite a while ago now. I didn't realize that, but it's episode 17 called Corrupting the Image. And this episode today is a little bit of a follow-on to that episode. So if you haven't listened to episode 17 yet, it may be worth your while to actually listen to that and then listen to this episode today. So this episode is a bit of a follow-on, really, and we go more in-depth on some of the topics that I wanted to talk to Doug about previously, but obviously we haven't got guests for unlimited time, and it's time-limited for myself. There's a time factor involved with the time difference. I'm over in the UK, a lot of my guests are in the US, some have been in other countries, so I have to be mindful of these things. So sometimes the interviews aren't as long as I would like them to be. Some people are limited to strictly an hour, and that's the case today with this episode, but hopefully you'll enjoy it. It is a fascinating episode. What I would say is this, is that I've been thinking regarding, well, what does it mean to be human? People don't fully understand what it means to be human, and where do we get our value from? Well, our value comes from being created in the image of God, male and female, all equally valuable in the sight of God. No matter the colour of your skin, all created equal. We're all valuable human beings. But the episode today, we're going to be touching on transhumanism. And does that mean that when man merges with machine, with AI, does it become something else other than human? It's a fascinating topic, and it's also scary in a sense that there is technology now being developed, like Neuralink. You'll hear us talk about that, and maybe that's leading down the road to maybe what the Bible talks about, the mark of the beast. But I'm no prophet, and I bring smart people on here to ask them questions, and hopefully we can have a better understanding of maybe what we're looking out for in the future. So Without further ado, I'm going to go and bring Doug onto the show. Well, time does fly, Doug. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back. I can't believe it's been that long, so it's great to be here again.
Yeah, it has. Like I said to you when we were just talking briefly off air, that it's August time. I was just looking back over some of my previous guests to invite back on August. And the last episode was, obviously, we were talking mainly around your first book, Corrupting the Image Part 1, which obviously I know you've got three parts to that book. And we briefly touched on the transhumanist agenda. We didn't really go much into that. And obviously, like, I want to go more into that today. And I mentioned last time that obviously I can see the transgender movement being like a stepping stone, and you agreed with that. But could you explain how you actually see that this transgender movement is a stepping stone to the transhumanist movement or agenda?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really interesting. In Corrupting the Image Volume 2, I deal with this a whole bunch. It has to do with the goddess Ishtar. Ishtar, or Inanna, she was, you know, this very sexy goddess, right? And she also was the goddess of transgenderism. And according to her mythical powers, she had the power to change men into women, women into men. She had a retinue of homosexuals, transvestites, etc., all around her. Now, obviously, we don't believe that she literally had the power to do this, because I don't think that she's literally a god. But this was the whole idea, is that you could change based on what the goddess could afford you. Of course, now we have the medical technology that they can actually do this, right? So I think this is a huge stepping stone on the path toward Babel, right? We know if the book of Revelation talks about the woman that rides the beast. And, you know, I think this is kind of showing us that the woman that rides the beast is very, very clearly Inanna or Ishtar, right? I mean, she was actually riding a beast in the ancient world. That's what's so crazy. I mean, we have the iconography to prove all these things so that people can see it with their own eyes, that the goddess Inanna was riding on the back of a beast, who the beast was, in fact, Ninurta or Nimrod, and also known as Enlil or Satan, right? So it's a couple, you know, you have to look at a few things at the same time here, but that's basically where this whole thing is going. And so, you know, I think what's happening with transgenderism, first of all, you know, this, let's start with the science. Okay. This whole idea that there's any kind of medical reason that this should happen is simply not true. This is according to Dr. Paul R. McHugh. He's a former psychiatrist in chief for Johns Hopkins Hospital, right? And he says that transgenderism is a mental disorder that merits treatment, and that a sex change is biologically impossible. He goes on, he says, this intensely felt sense of being transgendered constitutes a mental disorder in two respects. The first is that the idea of sex misalignment is simply mistaken. It does not correspond with physical reality. The second is that it can lead to grim psychological outcomes. The transgendered person's disorder is in the person's assumption that they are different than the physical reality of their body, their maleness or femaleness, as assigned by nature. It is a disorder similar to a dangerously thin person suffering anorexia, who looks in the mirror and thinks they are overweight. The assumption that one's gender is only in the mind, regardless of anatomical reality, has led some transgendered people to push for social acceptance and affirmation of their own subjective personal truth, right? So, I mean, wow, you know, it's pretty crazy. And he goes on to say a whole lot more things about this, but this idea that first of all, that you're misgendered, that's just patently false. Right. And doctors that are actually having some courage will stand up and say that that is simply not the truth. Now, that aside, could this be kind of a sign of the end times? I think it is, because I do believe, as I talked about in Corrupting the Image Volume 1, that I think that the mark of the beast is going to be the opportunity, the invitation to become something other than human, to become post-human. Right. So I see all these things as stepping stones. You mentioned transgender or transhumanism at the beginning there. And I think that's another stepping stone. I don't think any one of these things is the mark of the beast, but I think they are on the path toward the mark of the beast. And what I have already discussed is that I think the mark of the beast is where a person becomes a hybrid being. They no longer are simply human. They're now fully human. They're now something else. Something else has mingled with their DNA to make changes. Now, this of course begs the question, why would anybody want to become transhuman, right? Well, according to transhumanism, there's all kinds of reasons you might want to become transhuman, is that you might have superior powers, greater intellect. We know that people that have amputees, sometimes they are able to put some kind of an attachment on their what is left of their legs, and they can run races incredibly fast because now they're actually able to go faster with these various apparatus on their legs. So there's kind of that. That's a really simple a simple concept there. But it's the idea is that you could become more than what you are now. You could evolve to be something greater. So if you kind of buy into this idea that we've evolved from the goo to the zoo to you, then the idea that we've evolved, well, it means that we should continue to evolve. And we probably are still evolving. And I mean the word evolve, they're definitely in quotes here. I do think there are absolutely micro evolutionary changes within a person. So micro meaning just they're small little changes that happen in every subsequent generation. But they're not the same thing as these macro changes where you go from being a fish to being a horse, I mean that's a pretty big change, right? But that's the basic idea, is that we went from little bacteria, single-celled organisms, to finally we became fish, and then we became land animals, and then finally chimpanzees, and then here we are. We humans have evolved. So there's kind of this sense that it's almost our divine right. It's a divine mandate that we are supposed to continue evolving to become gods. And there are people that have said this so clearly. Mark Pesce, he says that that it's our destiny to become gods. We are going to overcome all of this humanity stuff. And that we're going to become the rulers of the universe. I mean, this is the kind of talk that they're espousing. And again, if you buy into the initial premise that we've evolved from the goo to the zoo to you, then it just makes sense. You should go from you to becoming a god. I mean, what would stop you? Ray Kurzweil was asked some years ago, "Do you believe in God?" And I'll tell you, it's quite a hubris answer. He says, "Well, not yet." I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, get out of the way. Lightning's going to strike any second here, right? But it didn't, right? I mean, lightning didn't strike. And, God allows people to make foolish statements. But the whole idea is that, we're going to create ourselves or make ourselves into gods. Through technology, through science, we're going to overcome our limitations, and we're going to eventually live forever. We're going to have unlimited power, maybe as a species, maybe on an individual level, but we're going to overcome this. Now, I think this is going to be appealing to some people just because it sounds amazing. Like, yeah, I'd like to run faster. I want to, have superpowers or supervision. And, if I could attain that through changing the color of my eyes so that they actually, become, owl eyes, I mean, wouldn't that be amazing if I had the eyes of an owl and I could just see so much stuff and I could see in the dark, if I had cat eyes and I could see in the dark? I mean, it sounds really interesting. It sounds kind of interesting. And I think some people would go for it, absolutely. But I think a lot of people would not go for it because they're like, this doesn't really seem right. And so what I think is going to happen is that there's going to be some fear factor. There's going to be something that is going to cause humanity to want to do this, to say, not only do you want to do this, but there's a huge fear. If you don't do this, there's a huge price to pay, right? So, kind of getting back on transgenderism, I think transgenderism is simply a stepping stone, right? Because if you can become any gender you want, and who's to say you can't, right? You can evolve to be the way you want to be. And if you're biologically a man, but you feel like you're a woman, who's to stop you from doing that? Right? Who's to say you can't do that? Well, presumably nobody, right? And so this is why I think it's very dangerous. One, I think it's just very dangerous for the individual. Two, I think it has crazy implications for us as a society that will not lead anywhere very good. And in Revelation, it talks about this woman that rides the beast, and the fact that this is Inanna or Ishtar, and that she had this mythical power to change people from one gender to another. And then, we see that she really is the one that is rallying the world around the beast until the beast decides that he doesn't need her, doesn't want her anymore. And then he's going to burn her with fire. So what I see happening is that people will continue to get their transgender operations. I think we as a society will continue to go downhill in this area. We will continue to make bad choices. And those lines are going to be so blurred between man and woman that it's going to be pretty messy. But all of this is a means to an end, as far as I can read in scripture. It's a means to an end. What's the end? Well, why does the fisherman put a worm on the end of his hook, right? What's the worm for? A worm is just the means to an end, right? The worm is to get the fish to bite the hook. And I think that, we are the fish, and Satan is simply baiting the hook, and he wants us to bite. So the woman that rides the beast and all of her different shenanigans, whatever they are, and mind you, the woman that rides the beast can be a lot of things to a lot of different people. Transgenderism is simply one of those devices that she wields, power, just sex in general, of any particular flavor, homosexuality, fame, all of these things are sort of in her wheelhouse. And I think that is the lure that she has over humanity. Hey, follow me, and we're going to have all these great times together. And I think the beast is like, yeah, follow her, And then once you're on the hook, then I've got you. Then you can't get away, and you're stuck. You're mine forever. And then people take the mark of the beast, and there's no going back from that, unfortunately.
Yeah, one of the phrases there that interested me was subjective truth, and obviously that is something, because if truth is subjective, then who's to challenge anyone over anything? I mean, and I've had this conversation with plenty of non-Christians. I've gone and I've asked them, well, do you think it's right if I kill a couple of old people? And they're like, well, no, of course that's wrong. And I said, well, why? Well it just is. Well, no, it's not just is. There's got to be another reason. And obviously I try and explain to them, you know it's wrong because we've got an objective moral standard outside of ourselves. But it's like, if there is no objective moral standard, there is no God, then everything goes, and who's to stop us doing anything at all? But one of the things that I think that people don't realize about Satan is, and it's overlooked even in Christian circles, and like you talk about, Satan's the fisherman, he's baiting the hook. And people need to pay attention to this word. And this is a word that rings in my ears all the time, subtle. What it says in Genesis chapter 3, that he was more subtle than all beasts of the field. And he's been around for thousands of years. I'm 44. That's a long guy I've been around. He's been around for thousands of years. Outside of Christ, he's going to steamroll me. He's going to steamroll every Christian. He's going to steamroll every person. And people think they're smart, and they're not smart, because they're being hoodwinked. And this, obviously, transgender movement, it's just, I mean, it's moving that quickly. I remember saying to my wife not long ago, I said, I didn't even hear the phrase like LGBTQ until 2017, when we were on holiday on a cruise liner. And they had a, when we were looking through the things that was going on during the day, it had this LGBTQ meetup. And I said to my wife, what is that? And she said, I think it's like gay people. I mean, and that's 7 years ago. Maybe I was a little behind the times, but that's the first time I heard of it. But it's moving so quickly. But you mentioned obviously technology there as well. And obviously artificial intelligence is like a hot topic. It's becoming more and more advanced. What role do you see AI playing in this transhumanist agenda, and then obviously leading towards like the mark of the beast?
I think that the AI revolution is something. I mean, I wrote about this in Corrupting Image 3, which came out in 2022. And, you know, that was just before ChatGPT came out, right? You know, and so, you know, I was doing my best to sort of put a few things together, but I mean, it was just insane of all that is coming. And, you know, so where might we find this in scripture? Well, I would suggest there's a few places. One, it talks about how the 10 are going to give to the beast their power and their authority because they are of one mind, right? And so that kind of caught my attention. And then you have in Revelation 13 talking about the mark of the beast and so, et cetera. It talks about the image of the beast. And that's something that, you know, it's certainly not easy to quite figure out what the image of the beast is. But as I was looking at it, I was just kind of, you know, thinking about all this stuff and putting it together. I think that AI could be the image of the beast, and or at least, you know, play a big part in that. And the image of the beast, I don't see it as just, you know, kind of a robot or, you know, some chatbot or something like that. But I think it's actually going to be a hive mind, right? And, you know, think of like a beehive, right? You have all of these bees acting in concert with one another, even though there's no particular, you know, coordination from our perspective, but somehow the hive just seems to know what the hive should do. You know, and it's like, wait, how does the hive know this? I liken it back to the Borg in Star Trek, The Next Generation, for those that are old enough to remember that. But the Borg, you know, they're this hybridized race, and there was no central leader. You know, everybody was just kind of assimilated into this hive experience. And, you know, they were incredibly powerful because they acted as one organism. And so that's what I think the image of the beast could be. And I think AI might very well help to kind of bring all of this together. Here's something from Dr. Louis Rosenberg. He's a Stanford graduate, awarded, you know, 350 patents and all kinds of stuff, right? So he's talking about artificial intelligence. Is an alien intelligence is heading toward us at breakneck speeds. It will not show up in a rocket ship, but will be born right here on Earth in a research lab. The first sentient AI will be different from us as any alien we can imagine, and we have no reason to believe its interests will even be remotely aligned with our own. The intelligence will be flexible and cunning, able to infiltrate our computer networks and permeate our critical infrastructure. It will quickly become smarter than we are, and when that happens, humans will struggle to understand how it thinks, feels, or acts, but it will understand us completely. After all, we've told it everything we know, and it will have spent decades studying human actions and reactions. And if that sounds incredibly dangerous, that's because it is. All right. And he goes on to say that it will act probably in its own, it'll pursue its own interests. I mean, this is crazy stuff, right? And this is just a couple of years ago that I was writing about this, you know, and now we know that it's happening at just incredible speed, you know. I mean, you know, you have a new chatbot coming out every week, it seems like, and they keep coming up with better image generators and all kinds of stuff, and video generators, just from putting in a text, it can generate video. I mean, that's pretty wild to think about, you know, what you can do. And frankly, I love a lot of these tools. I mean, I'm actually taking advantage of some of these tools, trying to, you know, get my movie made, Regenesis Code. So which is the fiction version of all that I wrote about in Corrupting Image 1, 2, and 3. I want to put this on, you know, Netflix or maybe the big screen, and just put this out there so people can see what is coming from a biblical perspective, but written in such a way that anybody who doesn't even know the Bible, they don't care. You know, it's just good entertainment. All right. It's great entertainment. It's good sci-fi, a lot of action and all that. And then, you know, all the other little theological stuff is kind of buried deep in there. So it's kind of a fun project. But, you know, but so I'm using some of these tools, and they're amazing what they can do, right? But the AI is just getting started, right? It's just getting started. So I think that it's very likely And I go on in the book to describe how people are working on creating hive mind scenarios, right? I mean, scientists and researchers are working on creating a scenario where we could become a hive mind. And, you know, I think there's all kinds of benefits to working as a hive mind. I mean, it's crazy. This is 2002. The Fathers for Life website, right? They're writing really very prescient in what they were saying. They say, talking about a hive mind, not only will this hive mind have been brought to life by the end of this century, but it will also offer the lure of immortality, enhanced body functions, and vastly improved brain power for all those who join it, giving them virtually instantaneous communication with one another and making them potentially unimaginably powerful. Okay, I mean, that's pretty crazy, right? And it goes on to say, that's what makes us human and what comprises mankind, that is, the individual personalities, will then no longer exist. All right, so again, as I see it from the biblical perspective, I think that the mark or the image of the beast that, you know, and it's really the image of the beast that is executing all of these different things that the beast is coming up with, so that you know, everyone has to get a mark on their on themselves. It seems to be it's the image of the beast that is doing that. So the image of the beast, it says that it's actually, you know, it's sentient. It breathes in some sense. You know, whether it has, you know, actual oxygen going in its lungs, I don't know. But breathe doesn't only have to mean that it's drawing oxygen, but that it has some kind of sentience. Okay, and so I think that very well could be, but instead of it just being a really amazing supercomputer, I think that it will plug all of us into it, kind of like, you know, the Matrix. I mean, that's, you know, I think we've seen all of these things previewed for us already in the movies, but then the thought that these things could actually come to pass, you know, that gets kind of scary, right? And like, really? Like, could this really happen? I think it is entirely possible that we are going to see these things, just as many people have suggested, just as the Bible alludes to. Now, to be fair, the Bible doesn't come right out and say it's going to be artificial intelligence, right? But, you know, by studying these texts, and we with a just a tiny bit of holy imagination, we're like, you know, I wonder if this what it said back, you know, 2,000 years ago, could it be, right? And so that's where I'm landing. And that because they were all of one mind, right? That was the huge clue, that they're all of one mind. Now, it could just mean that they're all in agreement, or it could mean a little more literally that they're all of one mind, right? And so think about it. You know, I've thought about this many times. You know, if I could be like Neo and I could just plug in something into my brain and suddenly know Kung Fu, sweet, you know, that'd be awesome. I would love to take shortcuts. And if I could have Google or some search engine in my brain and just have the world's data, you know, right there, how cool would that be, right? I mean, think of what this could do. And this is what AI is promising us, is that we're going to have not only, you know, Google at our fingertips, but it will be right there already synthesized for us when we need it. Now, we know that Elon Musk is working on something called the neural network, right? So the Neuralace, right? So basically, they put a drill a hole in your brain and your head anyway, and then they insert with some kind of a little syringe or something, they insert this thing into your head and it goes over your brain, and then it's like actually making connections, these computer connections to various parts of your brain. And again, while that would be awesome for the knowledge I could gain, right? If it was just input of knowledge that I'm gaining, fantastic, right? But that's not how computers work, right? You know, we all know about scammers and hackers, and people can hack into what you've got on your computer and they can steal that. They can control it. They can manipulate it. So what if somebody, you know, puts this Neuralink in their brain and now they're able to do all these different things? And look, I'm not against technology. I think it's great. They're going to help people walk again and see again. It's wonderful, wonderful. But it only takes one madman to misuse good technology for bad. And that's what I think is going to ultimately happen, is that there will be somebody who will come along, we'll call him the Beast, and he will use all of these technologies in a very nefarious way, so that he then, hacks into our brains, or, makes us all zombies essentially. And, so that this network where you think that you're actually gaining power because you're gaining knowledge, I think what it could actually do, like if they can get into your brain directly, who's to say they can't manipulate you or start planting thoughts into your head of what you should do, thinking that it's your thought, right? And that's where I think that the massive danger comes in, right? And I think AI will help coordinate all of that. I mean, it would take an incredible network of, computer intelligence to manage all of these different minds. And so what I'm seeing is it's not merely AI. I think AI is a huge stepping stone to what is going to be. But I think the ultimate thing is when you can connect all human brains into a single network, right? And then manage those through software and AI and all that other stuff. So now you have a hive organism. So that's where I'm seeing it going. And I'm not the only guy, right? So I think a lot of people are kind of seeing this, but I definitely think AI is going to prove a big part in that.
It's crazy. I mean, I've been looking into AI and I've seen a few documentaries, and it is frightening because, like, one of the documentaries I seen was there was training an AI pilot against, it was in the US, against a naval pilot, like a Top Gun, and he was on a simulator, and it wasn't like a computer game. This is like the proper simulator that these pilots train on, and he was flying against an AI pilot. And he flew against it 10 times and it killed him 10 times. And this is one of the best pilots in US Navy. What he said was, he said that its movements were just way too accurate. He said, but one of the things that it was doing, which a human pilot would never do, is that it was flying head on and taking headshots and shooting him head on. He says, a human pilot won't do that because of fear. They will seek to get behind the other plane and shoot it down. And he said the AI doesn't have that problem because there's no fear there because it's not human. And there was
I
another
can't
on the
die.
same, yeah, it's the same documentary again where they were training an AI to bomb. It was on a simulator, but it was to bomb missile silos. And its task was to get as many points as possible by bombing these missile silos. But every now and again, the human operator of the simulation would seek to stop it from bombing certain silos. But because its task was to gain as many points as possible, the AI quickly learned that by this human interfering, it was stopping it from undertaking its mission, which was to gain as many points. So it killed. It killed the human operator, like obviously in the simulation. So it learned to that basically the human was in its way. So we just got rid of the human, and I was gobsmacked. Now, one of the things that I read on your website was regarding 3D printing, and it said that bioengineers promised to 3D print human hearts in a decade. How advanced do you actually think 3D printing is now, and what sort of role do you see like 3D printing maybe playing in the transhumanist agenda, if any?
Well, again, I think it's awesome if they can 3D print hearts and valves and, body parts that have gone missing. If they can 3D print those back into existence, that's great. This is where I think we have to walk a very fine line as biblicists and eschatologists, that we're not trying to say the sky is falling every other day, but understand the bigger trend. Okay, so when we can start doing these things, then it means that there's nothing that we really can't do, And so by 3D printing body parts, where that's going to lead, it's hard to say. But the fact that we can do it, I mean, that's pretty amazing. And again, what I see happening, the bottom line for me is that I see that we're going to want to become gods. Again, not out of the sense of pleasure or benefit, but out of the sense of fear, right? And so the Bible, Book of Revelation, talks about these two witnesses that are coming. They're going to come with all power. Okay, that's really important to understand. But guess what? The beast is also coming with all of Satan's lying signs, wonder, and power. Okay, so it's going to be a competition between these two. And I think that when the two witnesses come, they are going to come, right? They're dressed in sackcloth. That means that they have the mission to tell people to repent. You see that in Nineveh, right, with Jonah. So that's a sign of repentance. So their mission is to get people to repent. Repent of what? Well, of straying away from the Creator. Why? Because he's coming back. Okay, God's coming, and you might want to get ready before the king arrives, because when he does, oh my, it's going to be crazy, right? So this is your chance, humanity, to get right, to seek God, and to bend your knee in service to him. Well, the world's gonna be like, God, we don't want this stuff, right? So they're gonna try to stop these guys. We don't like your message. But guess what? They have power. They can stop it from raining for 3.5 years. They can turn water to blood. They can strike the earth with plagues as often as they desire. And if anybody tries to stop them or kill them, they can have fire come out from their mouths. So these guys are pretty awesome dudes, right? I mean, they are in stop, they're unstoppable, and yet they're causing tremendous havoc and loss of life and property and industry on planet Earth. So we need to get rid of them. Well, this is where I think the beast comes in. This is where I think Satan, the dragon, is going to make a covenant of death and Sheol with the world. And this says in Isaiah chapter 28, "Woe to you, inhabitants of Jerusalem, who say, 'We've made a covenant with death and Sheol, we are in agreement.'" And because you did not love the truth, right? So they're gonna do this. And says that we've made lies our refuge. And that's the same thing that the Apostle Paul is saying in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is that they did not receive the love of the truth, and so they're going to receive the they're going to buy into this huge delusion, this strong delusion, namely that they can fight against God. Okay. Well, so again, the two witnesses come, they have their whole message for 1260 days, and then the beast comes up out of the abyss and kills them. And guess what? The world is ecstatic. Oh, yay. Thank you. Hooray. We're going to send gifts to each other because we really didn't like these guys. They were terrorizing planet Earth, right? But guess what? After 3.5 days, they rise back to life, right? Oh my goodness. That says fear, great fear fell on everybody who saw this. So imagine these guys who've been terrorizing the planet. They're finally overcome by this guy named the Beast, who becomes a hybrid with Satan. And now he has Satan's powers, and he's able to use these powers against these two witnesses. And they're dead, right? So he won, but then they come back to life. And then there's a voice that says, "Come up here." They go into heaven and they disappear. Well, I think you can put two and two together that, hey, they kept telling us that their boss is coming back. And we don't like their boss. He's that God of the Bible, right? But here's the thing. It's not really God, creator God, almighty God. Yeah, he's a God, right? But we can become gods too. The God of the Bible is an advanced alien being. He's an ascended master, but he evolved that way. And we can evolve as well. We can become ascended masters. We can take our evolution into our own hands and become what we want to be. And this is where I think that humanity is going to say, you know what? We're not gonna negotiate with terrorists. We're gonna play this on our own terms. And so I think the mandate will go out after the resurrection of the two witnesses that you must get an upgrade, right? It's for the good of humanity. It's for the very existence of our race. It's for the endurance of planet Earth. You know, if you don't join the army to fight against the alien invaders, we're all gonna die, man. I mean, come on. You know, we're all gonna die. And so this is, I think, the basic scenario that we put forth, and it will be because of fear that people will want to or be forced to take the mark of the beast, and not just for the benefits of, hey, I want to run faster, or I want to be smarter, or anything like that. Obviously, all those benefits will be there, and I think, you know, the early adopters will say, oh yeah, I definitely want to do that, right? But then as time goes on, I think they're going to start to see some flaws in this. In fact, the book of Revelation talks about those who take the mark. They're going to have some putrefying sores coming out of them. And it says some will look for death, but it will flee from them. I mean, this is pretty crazy stuff. So I think people will become immortal, and then they'll begin to realize, uh-oh, this was not the immortality that I wanted. And then they'll try to kill themselves, but guess what? You're immortal, so you can't die. And you know, so that's where I see all of this going. You know, so kind of where we started with transgenderism. I think that's a stepping stone to be, evolve to become whatever you want to be. There are people who they're called, sometimes they're called furries. They think that they're a dog or a cat, and they actually live that way. But some people actually, you know, change their body. Like they'll actually put in whiskers. You know, they'll make their face look like a cat's face with stripes or something, or they'll sharpen their teeth, or they'll put in horns. I mean, it's crazy stuff. Because people say, hey, I can evolve to be whatever I want to be. And, you know, again, I think that's just the beginning of where people are going to go. And you actually have the technology to change your body from the inside out, then I think people will sadly jump on that bandwagon. And again, another stepping stone to be actually changing yourself at the DNA level. And when you actually change yourself at the DNA level, that's where I suggest that the image of God has been corrupted, hence corrupting the image. I think that's Satan's ultimate goal, is to corrupt the image. Before the flood, it was angels that came down, mated with women, and they created this hybrid race called the Nephilim. After the flood, it seems that he worked through Nimrod, who then you know, gave his hybridized DNA to the Amorites and other people groups. And in the end times, I think he's going to do it through what's called the mark of the beast, where humanity, out of fear of this coming army, this galactic army that's coming to invade the Earth, which is Jesus, of course. But the sales pitch is that, you know, hey, you know, here's this terrible overlord who's coming to try to ruin our way of life, and we need to all band together to fight against him. Yeah, call him Jesus or Yahweh or whatever you want to call him. It doesn't matter. He's not a very nice guy, you know. And really all of that, most of the Bible stuff is just partly true. It's kind of a myth. It's always told from the perspective of the victor, right? And so, you know, he gets to write the book, but the reality is, you know, he's a terrible overlord who wants to subject us. You know, weren't his people saying that we need to repent and we need to bow our knees, and he's coming to rule the earth with a rod of iron? I mean, who wants that, right? We want freedom. We want peace. We want to do it our way, you know, free love and all this stuff. And, you know, so I think you can kind of come up with a lot of different scenarios of what it might sound like, and it'll probably sound different to different people. But the bottom line is that everybody needs to take the mark, needs to get this genetic transformation, so that we can all fight against this invading army.
When you were mentioning about these furries and things like that, I mean, the mind boggles with these people who, and you, if you said, like, one of the things I've said to people is, I've said, paedophilia is going to be legal soon. And they look at you, they're like, what are you talking about? I went, trust me, because what they're going to, and it is a phrase that's being bandied around now. And I have heard if there was some, I don't know whether it was like a senator from the US, but someone in politics in the US defending paedophiles, saying it's like, it's just like, you know, that's how they feel. But one of the phrases now that they're using is minor attracted persons. And
Goodness.
I've said if you think that it's crazy that people, I'm saying to you that paedophilia is going to be legal. Obviously, they're not going to say, come on the news and go, right, today it's legal to be a paedophile. But I've said people are actually walking around as dogs now and cats. And you think it's far-fetched to say that somewhat, you know, that they're going to have these minor attracted people. And that's the phrase they're using now. And like we've said, without God, there's no end to this, is there? But what I wanted to just quickly do is read an excerpt off your website just to give people a flavor of actually from an actual transhumanist perspective, what they actually think. So this is, you've put on, it's an article, Time Magazine, December 97, reported on a guy called Dr. Richard Seed. And apparently he declared that God intended for man to become one with God. We are going to become one with God. We are going to have almost as much knowledge and almost as much power as God. Cloning and the reprogramming of DNA is the first serious step to becoming one with God. And then he's put that man will develop, this was a later interview on CNN, man will develop the technology and the science and the capability to have an indefinite lifespan. And then he went on to say that we are going to become gods, period. If you do not like it, get off. You do not have to contribute. You do not have to participate. But if you are going to interfere with me becoming a god, you are going to have trouble. There will be warfare. I mean, that is unbelievable.
Well, let me just add, because in Corrupting Image 3, I found another leading transhumanist, Mark Pesce. And he states that the goal is to recreate our genetic code into that of a god. So he says, once the genome was transcribed, once we knew what had made us human, we had in that moment passed into the transhuman. Knowing our codes, we can recreate them in our so-called synthetic rows of ones and zeros. Now we will reach into the improbable, resequence ourselves into a new being, debugging the natural state, translating ourselves into supernatural, incorruptible, eternal. There is no God but man. Right? Whoa, right? Like, watch out for that lightning again.
Wow.
Right. And he goes on, he says, we seek something more, a transcendence of transience, translation to incorruptible form. We seek, therefore, to bless ourselves with perfect knowledge and perfect will, to become as gods. Take the universe in hand and transform it in our image for our own delight, as it is on earth, so it shall be in the heavens. Now, you can't help but miss, right? You just can't miss this very clear allusion to biblical language, right? As it is in heaven, so it shall be on earth, right? He's saying, as it is on earth, so it shall be in heaven, right? I mean, he's clearly mocking the Bible when he says that. Right. And I mean, okay, people have mocked the Bible before. It's not new. But here's someone who is, you know, in the field of the science of being able to change ourselves so that we can, you know, become something different, you know. And again, so the little scenario that I proposed just a few moments ago, you know, that's not just my own musings on this whole thing, right? It's based on all this research. It's based obviously on the Bible, but also on, you know, very recent leading edge thinkers and people who are working in the scientific fields trying to make these things a reality. Now, again, I want to be really clear. I don't think that most people who are working in science are somehow, mischievous people, and they're just like, I can hardly wait until, you know, we can take over the world. Like, I don't think it's that kind of thing, that they're all maniacal, you know, crazy people that got their little cat and they're stroking it, like, about James Bond or whatever, and that kind of stuff, but again, you take otherwise neutral technology and then you apply it in a way that's evil. Back at the Garden of, or back at the Tower of Babel, God wasn't opposed to tall building. That wasn't the problem. It wasn't that they were making a tower. It was the purpose of the tower, right? The purpose of the tower was to make a name for themselves. And the name of the tower, Babel, gives it away, because in Akkadian, Babel actually means gate of the gods, right? So they were trying to build a gateway to the gods. And they weren't trying to touch the dome or, hit the sky, as some people think. That's kind of silly talk. But what they were trying to do is to create some kind of a stargate. That's what they were trying to do, create a stargate so that the gods and humans could communicate with one another. Exactly how they might have done that, there's a little bit of discussion about that, which I sort of speculate a bit in Corrupting Image Volume 2. I think it might have something to do with wormholes and other fun stuff. Okay. But so I think there was something to that. And I think it was real, frankly. I think it was very real. And I think that is why God stepped in at the Tower of Babel. Because God doesn't step in directly every day, right? It's only when there's something so heinous going on that if he doesn't step in directly, there will be an extinction level event that could happen, right? And that's why he stepped in before the flood, because there was an extinction level event that was underway, and only eight people made it out alive. I mean, think about that. Only eight people, right? Because people were being turned into zombies. They were becoming Nephilim. They were becoming non-human. They were not in the image of God anymore. And I don't know if that was everybody on the planet, but it was certainly a lot of people. And only eight people made it out. And at the Tower of Babel, God stepped in again because humanity was getting so close. God himself said, "Hey, look, they're now of one mind and one language. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them, right? Nothing will be impossible for them." That's an incredible statement by God himself about humanity as to what they were able to do. And I think we are really coming back to those days. I think we're building our own Tower of Babel. We've overcome the Babel effect. We've overcome the just diffusion of languages, and we now are able to really communicate. In fact, that's one of the things that AI is doing. And again, I love it. I think it's awesome, and it can be used for good, but can also be used for evil. Which is, you can actually create a video of yourself. So I could create a video of myself. Let's say I'm doing a teaching or something. I can then just hit, translate, and AI will then translate my voice, okay, my voice into Farsi or Spanish or Chinese or whatever. And it will move my lips, okay, as
Crazy.
if I'm speaking those languages,
It's
right?
mad.
Even though I recorded the thing in English, but it will then, it'll take, it'll, it'll, you know, redo my voice in that target language. It will move my lips so that they move according to that target language, even though I've never studied Chinese, So that's pretty crazy. I have zero accent. I speak flawlessly. I mean, is that great? Yeah, it's wonderful. Can that be used for evil? Sure, you better believe it, right? So we are overcoming the Babel effect, and this is why we have to study the ancient past to really understand what's going to happen in the future. And this is where I think sometimes pop eschatology can kind of take some shortcuts, because we're not always willing to dig deep in the ancient world and say, "Well, I saw this in the newspaper and I saw that in the newspaper, and so therefore, something's going to happen tomorrow." And a lot of times it doesn't, right? Most of the time it doesn't. So I think we have to have a longer view of these things. And by studying what happened in the days of Nimrod and then what's going to happen in the future, there are these incredible parallels. And that was one of the things that kind of blew my mind when I was studying for Corrupting Image Volume 2. I kept asking the question, why is Satan a great red dragon? Why? Why is there a woman that rides the beast? Why is the beast called the beast? I mean, these are crazy things. So as I started digging, I found that there wasn't a woman that was riding the beast. It was Ishtar. And she was this young, attractive female, always available for a sexual encounter, but never pregnant, never becoming a mother, none of those motherly duties or anything like that. And but not only that, she also could change people from one gender to another. She could basically give you anything you wanted. That's what she could do, give you anything you wanted. And she was riding the beast. The beast was this hybridized Anzu bird, and Anzu bird's a little bit misleading. It was kind of a lion. Well, it's definitely a lion with plumes and wings, and it had eagle's talons on its back feet. It could vomit out poison, and so it could fly. And then this image kind of morphed over time, and by the time we get to about 1200 BC, it's on the Kuduru stone. It's more of a kind of a horse shape, but still with some of those lion qualities. It has the eagle's talons on its back feet. It has wings, and it has a scorpion's tail. So did the Anzu bird. But it has a scorpion's tail. It has a serpent head phallus, and it has two heads. It has a man's head and a lion's head. And where do we find that precisely? In the book of Revelation, chapter 9. Okay. And so as I was digging deep in this stuff, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is crazy, to start finding these things in the ancient world. And it's recycling of themes. These are not new ideas. They're old ideas coming back to us once again. It is the return of the ancient gods. But it's in modern veneer, and so it's often difficult to see, and so yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff that's happening in our world, UFOs being one of those. Look, I do not believe in extraterrestrials, but I do believe in extra dimensionals or interdimensionals, namely, fallen angels. Okay. And these fallen angels, Satan and his crew, are up to no good, but they can appear as angels of light. And this is where I think they've been working on this stage setting for a very long time. They're kind of prepping the script so that people will say, oh, there are these two aliens that are showing up, and they're saying we have to repent and turn back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I don't think so. Well, what do we do? Well, who can fight for us? Who can help us? Oh, turns out that these alien beings have been here for so long. They've been watching over us, and they care about us. And they're going to fight for our country or fight for our world. And that's where I think humanity will say, yes, we agree to your terms, whatever you need, just do it. Because these guys are kicking our butt, and we need some way to fight fire with fire. So I think it's an incredibly a terrible plot. I mean, it's so sinister what Satan has been cooking up for a long time. But here's where I encourage people. Look, because I know I've been in this a long time, and I've seen it. You can start going down the end times rabbit hole, and you can get sucked in, and you never see the light of day again. I want to remind you, there's somebody who's far stronger than anything that Satan can come up with, right? And that is Jesus. Right, he's got the answers, and so the way we're going to fight is not by uncovering all of their terrible deeds, but by looking toward the light. You want to fight the darkness? Turn on that light switch. Okay, it's that simple, right? Turn on the light switch. We're not going to fight darkness, face to face. That's a bad strategy. If we fight darkness in the dark, well, guess what? Guess who wins? Darkness wins. Okay, but if we fight darkness by turning on the light, then we win, right? Because darkness flees. Darkness can't handle the light. So it may be a little trite that, but that's how it works. And so we want to focus on Jesus. We want to focus on Yeshua, on his goodness, on what he is, and love people, be kind to people, right? That's how we fight this. No, it's all going to happen according to God's timetable. God's going to decide when the curtains are going to open, right? Not Satan. So we don't have anything to fear. We really can just say, okay, this is going to be an interesting show. You know, it's kind of fun to get the preview. It really is fun to see the preview.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to stress about it, you know, and God will take care of me. And if he doesn't, then I get to go be with him immediately. Pretty cool, you know. So I don't lose, I only win. That's the good news.
Yeah. Amen to that, Doug. It's so important to give people that hope because, like you said, you can go down these rabbit holes and you just disappear down them, and they are so dark. But one of the things I encourage myself with, and I'll encourage believers with this, is that when it says our Lord comes back, it says that he destroys Satan with the brightness of his coming. So Satan's been spending thousands of years deceiving people and building this army, and it'll be over within the blink of an eye. There's not going to be a fight. There's not going to be a titanic struggle. He's going to destroy him with the brightness of his coming. So, like the
I
Bible
love
says,
that.
that God's stronger than all men, all angels, and it means all of them combined from all time. No one, they can't match him. He's omnipotent, means he's got all power. And I think we need to just remember that. Like you said, it's great to have the preview. And unfortunately, there's people out there that are just going to be, it's going to be like a turkey shoot for unbelievers. Satan's just going to steamroll them at the end. But we've got the Lord. It's been a wonderful episode again with you, Doug. Fascinating. A lot to think about and a great message of hope there at the end. But just before we go, could you just remind people where they can get your books and tell us about your website and tell us about the film that you're hoping to have made? Because that sounds really interesting.
Oh, thank you. DouglasHamp.com. DouglasHamp.com is where you can get my ebooks and audiobooks. If you want to get those in print or Kindle or Audible, you can go to Amazon.com, of course. So everyone's heard of that one, right? So just put in my name and I'll come up. I wrote a book called Regenesis Code, and I really wanted to take something and put it in a story format because I think we have an incredible opportunity to reach hundreds of millions of people. I was looking at how much an average Billy Graham crusade costs. It's like $2.3 million. That's a lot of money, you know. And God bless them for all that they did. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but I do feel like that is kind of a means that maybe it's not the best way that we can do it nowadays. You know, there are other things we can do, and I think with the advent of obviously the internet and TikTok and Netflix, I think there's so many other ways that we can reach people in mass. And I think, people love stories, right? Jesus told a lot of stories. People love a good story. Every Christian loves a good movie. I love good movies, and I can't stand the yucky, dumb ones. I don't like Christian movies in general because they're just, I don't know, just like, oh, just I want some good
Yeah.
entertainment. So I wrote this book with my co-author Morne Theunissen out of South Africa to really bring all of these elements together. We're going to write four books all together. We finished the first one. We're working on creating a video short. That is something so that you can kind of show people to get more interest so that we can then make the full TV series. We want to make like a Netflix series essentially. And we'd love to do like four seasons, maybe 6 to 8 videos per episode, per season, right? Because then we have an opportunity to show it on the screen. Instead of telling people, hey, you need to be saved, we can show them how the kingdom is going to come back to this earth, and the kingdom is going to win ultimately. We're gonna look at this incredible epic finale to Satan's kingdom and being replaced by Jesus' kingdom, as it's manifested. So that's what we're trying to do. If people want to get involved with that, it'd be awesome. We are going to start a crowdfunding campaign very soon. We've been working overtime, just so people know. We've got a rip reel coming out, so that kind of gives people a little bit longer feel for what we're trying to make. So all kinds of good stuff is coming, but check out the book. And if you want to, you can listen to it on YouTube. It's called Regenesis Code. Regenesis Code. I'm reading it to you so you can enjoy the story for free if you want. If you want to support the ministry, awesome. Go to Amazon.com or DouglasHemp.com and you can get either the audiobook or the ebook or the print version.
Well, Doug, science fiction, the Bible, you've sold it to me. I'm definitely going to watch it when it comes out. Yeah. Thanks
Nice.
for joining me tonight. Again, Doug, it's
Thank
been a
you.
fascinating episode. I know my audience will definitely enjoy this one. Thank you to all my regular listeners who keep coming back week after week. I'll be joined again with a new guest next week. So thank you for listening. I'm Paul, and this is Beyond the Paradigm.
Am I crazy? We don't use that word in here.